from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Well, smithereens on a Friday. I have no idea. 5 after 9, Phil Ford Tub Studio, CeeLo and Jerry, Dinosaur Jr. I actually should have remembered that back in my FM 106.3 days. I probably played this. This is probably what, 90s, Mike, you would say?
I have no idea. It's on the Al approved.
Yeah, okay.
Al approved.
We've been all over the place, but you said you got something.
Well,
we're about to come
The timing for us a little unfortunate, but there is a happy ending at least. So you did the Greg Swindell story last segment, and we were like, oh boy, she's been found.
Oh, good. Okay.
So he tweeted out this morning, she's been found. That's all we have for now. Thank you to everyone. This was at like 7:15.
Okay.
So there's no further details, nothing in there about
I hope she's all right.
Boyfriend, export. Well, she's been found, so yeah, hopefully, I don't know where or under what circumstances, but at least she has been located.
Okay.
So, bizarre story with the phones being turned off and all that. So, like you said, hopefully she's okay and nothing real bad went down, but at least she has been located.
I'm not going to lie. When we were just about to come on and you're like, I got something for you, I really thought you were going to tell me that the Cowboys signed Dak Prescott. I did.
I kind of couched it. I said, you were like, is it breaking news? I'm like, sort of. It'd
Which
sort
would,
of be of interest to
because
you.
Because you're kind of waiting for it, so that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, but I think I would have qualified that more as definite breaking news.
That timing was pretty good, though. So, I guess, hope she's okay.
Yeah.
All right, we started long ago at 6 o'clock. We've been all over the map here with the Yankees, of course, and Rutgers with Steve Peichel coming in and Dylan Harper. Had some fun with them. So, let's just talk about the Mets for a moment because they start a pretty important series tonight in Arizona. We talked about them not getting any help. I'm not assuming they're going to get any help the rest of the way. It's going to be a fight for them in an uphill climb. I don't think it's impossible. But I said yesterday my confidence level in them getting to the postseason right now is sitting at around a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10.
And that was on the high side compared to
Correct.
The in-house Met fans that we had here. One was a 4, one was a 3.
Fleeks was a 1. And the reason why I am as high as that, and that's not even a high number, is the fact that we've seen bigger deficits than 3 in a month for sure. 3 you can make up if things break right. You can make them up in 5 days. I'm not anticipating that. But I do think this team has at least shown us the ability to get on a stretch of winnable or winning baseball. And I think if they've got one more run left in them, that it's possible. I don't know at this point that I expect it any longer, only because I actually think I would feel more comfortable if they were 3 games behind a few different teams than 3 games behind the Braves. It's that stupid Braves team that just seems to stab them in the eye every single year. And I think that's the biggest thing I have trouble coming to terms with them overtaking them is at the end of the day, it's the damn Braves.
Yeah, and look, that's the closest team, so that's where our focus is. But here's an opportunity against another team you're chasing. I get it, they're ahead of the Braves, but you're going to play 3 against Arizona. And I know that the Diamondbacks have been hot and they've been playing good baseball, but I look at the pitching matchups, especially for these first two games, like, you know, I get it's on the road. It's the defending NL champions, all that. But they're not, you know, Eduardo Rodriguez, it's his fourth start of the year. Don't really know what to make of where he's at yet. You've got this, you know, Brandon Pfaadt going. He's pitching to an ERA over four. Same for Ryan Nelson. And the Mets have Minaya going, who's been better than I would have thought this year.
Phenomenal.
Severino has taken the ball every turn through the rotation. Has had some real solid outings. They don't have anybody listed for Thursday just yet, so I don't know what's going on there. Who am I missing? Because then they have Peterson for Friday. Who do we think, Fleegs, you know who's going to step in and make that start Thursday? Are they calling somebody up? Where
it's
are we at?
TBD.
So is this going to be a McGill situation?
The report has been that McGill is expected to take
this
the spot
Blackburn
in the rotation,
spot, right?
But then there's debate. They could move Peterson up to Thursday and then slot McGill in against the White Sox.
Because they had yesterday off.
Instead of having McGill face the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, Peterson's been really good. So, yeah, I mean, you're talking about facing the Diamondbacks versus the White Sox. That might make some sense. So, pitch, I mean, I think they're lined up. They go into this series, and it's hard to ask for being in a better position as far as the pitchers that they could potentially have going, who's going for Arizona. If nothing else, they should score some runs in this series.
You would like to hope so.
You know, so a way to take two out of three.
You know what? You can look at the series in San Diego. They scored runs. I know they only scored two in the series finale, but they were, you know, two-run lead in the eighth inning. You expect to win that game. I don't care if it's 2-0 or it's 7-5.
Right, and we talked Budo was rested.
Yeah.
And Diaz was rested. It didn't work out. And
that's
the Padres
those,
have been a comeback team this year.
I know, but that was one of those that they were the better team for 7.5 stupid innings,
yeah,
and basically gave the game away. You can't have that in this series. You know, you can deal with the 2-2 split in San Diego. That's fine. This is a series that's going to have a winner and a loser. They need to go out and get two out of three in this Diamondback series because then, yeah, you got the White Sox lined up on the weekend. But, you know, as you point out, too, as bad as the White Sox are, they do win about 30% of their games, which lines up to 1 out of every 3.5.
Yeah, they're 31-100. So that 31-101. Actually, it's 235.
You know what I mean.
Percentage. But yeah, it's not. You don't just go in. Oh yeah, if you don't sweep it, it's a disgrace or an embarrassment. I mean, they do win some games as best they are.
But win the series. You know, go win this series, then deal with Chicago. They took 4 out of 6, and I don't know who the Braves are playing at the moment this weekend. I'd have to look at that. But I do think what? Just say it.
Twins right now.
And I know that. I said this weekend.
I think it's the Phillies again.
Four,
they're coming up soon.
Four with the Phillies.
Oh, that's right. Me and Al, we're going to go Thursday night. I can't now, but yes.
And they had it last night.
In Philly.
Fried started in Minnesota. They had a 90-minute rain delay, and he actually came back.
Did he really?
Now, he didn't last very long, and he kind of got banged around a little bit, but they won the game.
And they were already up 8, I think, when the game got delayed.
Yeah, well, it was 4-0 after one. But they just right out of the gate. But yeah, they've got two more with the Twins, and then four at Citizens Bank, and then they get the Rockies and the Blue Jays at home.
So you would think, given what they have this week, if the Mets had a winning week, at the very least, they've got to be able to make up a game. You know, you would think.
It would be nice for the Phillies to give them a little help this time around.
How about the Phillies sweep them, for God's sake?
Yeah, well, I don't know if they're in four games.
All right, take three. You're at home. Be raucous Citizens Bank Ballpark like you've been in the past.
Yeah.
And go take three out of four from them. I mean, at some point, here's what you know. I guess if you got a split, you'd have an opportunity to make up some ground, at the very least. Though I think the last thing you would want to see is Atlanta win 3 out of 4.
Of course.
Because you ain't catching the Phillies. So
no.
You need to go the other way.
You can actually feel comfortable rooting for the Phillies in that spot for a change.
No doubt. And then on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, you've got your first place Yankees who go into Washington last night. They take care of business. My two takeaways from this game were Judge playing a great center field. And I agree with you. Maybe the one catch wasn't the most amazing catch in the world as it's portrayed. The second one was pretty good with the double play.
Yeah, I liked both of them. I mean, look, I think we're marveling at him because of the full picture, not just, hey, he made this great defensive play. It's because of everything else that he's doing and the size and the fact that it's center field. But, you know, he went up and robbed a homer over the wall. We've seen that done. But yes, for him to come down, show the ball, and then essentially in the same motion, transfer it and hit the cutoff man on the throw for the double play. Like, there was no hesitation, so the awareness was great. And putting all the pieces together, it was a standout play, no question.
And then Nestor Cortes putting himself back into the postseason rotation mix with the way he's been pitching of late. Last night, if you watched the game, there were some hard-hit balls for sure. And yes, there were plays like the play Judge made, the play that Verdugo made where he almost broke his face. For the most part, his last three starts have been what we saw a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I mean, he's given up a run in the last three total, so that's obviously a good sign. Now, look, the Nationals, not great. I think one of them was against the White Sox, if I'm not mistaken. So you take advantage. The schedule is what it is, but it's nice to see him give him some length. And I thought last night looked confident, especially when he was backed against the wall in the sixth inning there with some traffic on the base paths and show some confidence in the fastball and kind of blow it by some guys. Now, not household names, marquee hitters. It's a young Nationals team, a couple of rookies. You had the one guy making his debut last night. But good for him to work through that and then go back out for the seventh. Even though he gave up the home run, he did at least pitch into the seventh inning. So that was a good sign.
And also pitching on the road. Because if you remember earlier in the season,
splits.
His splits were brutal. Yeah. He was a different guy home and away. And to see an outing like that, and you're right, it's not the most difficult place to play. And there were a lot of Yankee fans there. But you can make the case there were a lot of Yankee fans everywhere they go. For whatever reason, on the road, he wasn't comfortable. Last night, he looked as comfortable on the road as I've seen him all season, at least on the road.
Yeah, so, you know, the last two road starts, Washington and Chicago, if you're gonna get
fair
right,
enough.
Those are the spots to do it.
You're still going to go out and do it, though.
Season now. Yeah, it was even more glaring earlier on,
yes.
So it's come back a little bit. I think these are... not sure if these are updated with last night. What I'm looking at here is 13 starts, both home and away. 2.79 ERA at home, 5.45 on the road. I think it was sub 2 at home at one point earlier in the year and over 6 on the road.
He had a rough start in there
recently.
But also on the road, last time I looked at those, he was over 7 ERA on the road.
So
that has come down
for
sure. And then the two other points, if you're a Yankee fan, would be Jazz Chisholm continues to just, he's been good. I mean, you want to talk about getting a guy at the deadline that's made an impact. He has, while Mark Leiter has struggled recently, Chisholm's been steady.
Yeah, even with the IL stint.
Yep.
You know, he was obviously killing it before he went on, and he's come off and really settled right back in, I think, a little bit. Hit the home run last night. There's a spark, there's an energy and a life to him. Obviously, his personality, the fact that it lengthens out the lineup a little bit. And while he's made some errors at third base, you can see the ability. And if he gets some more reps and time there, you would think he probably would be able to fill that spot and play it pretty comfortably. But to your point about deadline acquisitions, like year in and year out, we see names move and then you kind of forget about it. An example last night, the Mariners have been scuffling. They traded for Randy Arozarena. Hit a home run against his former team, but it was only his second since being acquired, whereas I think Jazz has 7 or 8. So just to kind of compare and contrast.
Arozarena, too, was the guy that in the Mets series last weekend took that hit away from Nimmo that would have changed that. Was it the Saturday game or the Sunday game? I think it was the Sunday game where it looked like the Mets were... Mike, was that the Saturday, the Severino game?
It was the Sunday game.
Well, Severino's Sunday night. I feel like this was the Rosarino. Was that the Sunday game? Whatever. That was the game where it was scoreless. The Mets had guys on base, two out. Nimmo looks like he's got a ball that's going to fall in for, and the Mets would have broken through finally and gotten a couple of runs. And instead, he makes the incredible catch, almost collides with the center fielder. They don't. He makes the catch next inning. I think it was the next inning, maybe the inning after that. You get the home run. Then inning after that, you get the grand slam, and the game's over. The Mets get swept.
Yeah.
They haven't been good since until the last couple of days. I know they had the managerial change. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. We do forget when guys get moved. If they're not in New York, we're not keeping up on them.
And sometimes there's just not a lot of, you know, return. Guys, it's hard getting adjusted to new team, new city, new dynamics, and they don't always live up to what they were prior to when you got them.
No question about it. All right, when we come back, we're going to give Pat Boyle his full time. We cut him short last hour. Give him about, 5-6 minutes? We'll give him his full time this time. And then maybe your calls at the end of the hour, 888-808-1019. CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
By the way, you want to feel old as we are coming to you live in the Ford Tough Studio? CeeLo just told me something during the break. And this is not anything unusual because we're seeing this more and more. But a player that the Jets just released. What's his first name?
Oh, Jerry. Stand by. Let me get that back. I think, what did
Wasn't
I say?
It Trey?
Okay. Trey Swilling?
So Trey Swilling was just cut by the Jets, according to...
Reportedly.
Reportedly. Yes. And I hope I'm not breaking that to him. And I said to him, just very innocently, I'm like, not Pat Swilling's kid, is it? Ha, ha, ha. And ironically enough, he looked it up. It's Pat Swilling's kid. Now, that's a guy... Now, I know. What's the matter?
I don't know. I don't know Pat Swilling. That's what I was going to say. I'm not familiar
really?
With Pat
wow,
Swilling.
Wow, now I feel old. He doesn't even know who Pat Swilling
wow.
was?
That doesn't. I mean, it may not be about my age. It might just be an okay. ignorance thing. I don't remember that
No,
name.
No, that's fine. He was a really good player on the Saints back in the day. And so it makes, like, watching Aikman do games on TV, I don't know why. It doesn't make me feel old. But watching if Troy Aikman had a son play in the NFL would make me feel old. This is the similar where you say Pat Swilling's kid. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, Pat Swilling's going to be 60 next month, Jerry.
Yeah, you know, I'm not surprised. It's just, wow.
That's sorry, October. Cow. I'm thinking we're in September.
In October?
October 25th, to
you
be
turned
exact.
60?
Man, yeah, I could be remembering this wrong, but I think Ian, in one of the preseason games, when he mentioned Trey Swilling, joked about how he feels old because he remembers his father.
That
playing.
Sounds about
well,
right.
Even, all right, how about even this one? This will make all of you feel old a little bit. You know, one of the most highly recruited kids right now for college basketball is Carmelo Anthony's kid.
Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony is not, I mean, he just retired, what, 4 years ago? I don't even know.
He's
3 years
even
ago?
He's 40 yet, right?
I don't know how old he is. I don't know.
That one for me hits more than like LeBron's kid playing with LeBron.
That's like interesting.
That doesn't make me feel as old as you tell me Carmelo
Anthony's
kid.
Yeah, the LeBron one, I don't know why he doesn't either. That's true. I don't know why.
Maybe it's something about LeBron and the longevity and everything. It's like, we know that he's wanted to do it. You tell me Carmelo Anthony's kid is a highly recruited prospect now. Makes me feel older.
I don't know why.
Than the LeBron.
How old is Carmelo?
Carmelo is 40.
He is 40.
40 in May.
And so his son's probably, I don't know, 15 or 16 or so, I would think, if he's being recruited for college now. Maybe 17.
Yeah, you're right. The LeBron one should hit more.
But even if you look at like baseball, you know, you look at the Bobby Witt Jr., you look at Vladimir Guerrero Jr., it's like, wow. I mean, we are generations beyond that.
Frank Gore Jr. now in the NFL. Yeah. Saw something yesterday.
How about
LeBron
that?
Is averaging like around the same points per game when Frank Gore Jr. is entering the NFL as he did when Frank Gore Sr. entered the NFL.
Yeah, that doesn't
That's
surprise
That's pretty
me.
Ridiculous.
What LeBron has done in terms of maintaining his production, and you can say what you want about how they've been in L.A. and what the Lakers are, but his production and the way he plays is still off the charts for a guy at his age and how long he's done it for.
What was LeBron's first year in the NFL?
In the NBA?
2004?
I'm looking at Frank Gore's
page. I was 18 years ago. Was it longer than that?
Should wow. be. I think it's 05, because this would be year 20, no?
Okay, because Gore's first year was... I remember Gore...
No, LeBron and Carmelo were the 2003 draft, so their first season was 03, 04.
But that's... Wow. See, I remember Frank Gore tearing up his knee at Miami, and the fact that LeBron has been in the NBA, that feels like a long time ago to me. That is quite a run.
Well, how about this? Go figure out how many big-time players have started and finished their career inside of LeBron's career.
I'm sure it's a... insanely long list. Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. All right, Pat Boyle, good morning. How are you?
Morning. We're brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Play this in the first hour. Worth hearing again. How do you follow up Sunday's 2-home run performance if you're Aaron Judge? Didn't hit any last night. Robbed a couple, though.
Swung on. And hit in the air to deep left center field. Back on the track as Judge leaps up against the wall and makes the catch. Oh, what a play by Judge. And he gets it back in, and they're gonna double him at first. They get the double play. Oh, what a play by Judge.
That second, it gets me from Ricky.
Yeah. I think he was, and when he saw the throwback, probably figured it was, but then it ended up being a little bit of a closer play than maybe when Glaber first let go of the relay throw. That would be my guess.
Yeah, Ricky Ricardo here on the Fan. Judge making it look effortless. The home run robbery, the double play. Doubt the leaping catch he made in the second inning at the track would have been a home run, but still flashed the leather last night in a game where he went just 1-for-4 with a walk and a single. His 1,000th hit of his career, by the way. Yankees beat the Nats 5-2. Nestor Cortez, 6 2/3 innings of one-run ball. Solo home runs from Glaber to start the game. Then Austin Wells and Jazz Chisholm. Clay Holmes is 28th save. Yankees now 78-54, two-game lead in the East. Today, same thing, 6:45 first pitch, 6:05 coverage here on the Fan. The Odyssey app, you have Garrett Cole against Patrick Corbin in that miserable contract. You guys were talking about it. I didn't look it up, and that's my bad in advance. Do we know how many years he has left?
Because they're like, this is Corbin?
Yeah. They're like getting out from underneath all these. They had their kid Dylan Cruz, the number three prospect in all of baseball, make his debut. This kid Chaparro, who used to be with the Yankees, he's not that bad. Yeah, he's C.J. Abrams,
a
great all-star shortstop.
Team.
6 year. This is the last year. 6 year deal. They're finally done. Yeah, that solid year when they won the World Series in 19. Every other year has been horrendous.
Mike, can you see how long they're on the hook to pay Strasburg? Because I think that goes on and on and on and on. I think that was one of those long deferred.
It's like
type
a Bobby Bonilla type thing.
No, not that crazy, but it's long. I'm pretty sure. I think they've got, I want to say several more years to pay him.
Yeah, through 2029. And it goes up, it's in the mid-23s now. It goes up to 26 and change in 27 and 28 and 30-plus million in 2029. And I think they might still be paying Scherzer, too.
That's possible.
Oh, my God.
But the shirt, yeah, maybe.
Hope they enjoyed that World Series.
The Strasburg one, though, is an uninsured contract, which means they are paying that
no matter what
single year. Yeah,
that's fully guaranteed.
But you know what sucks about that? And I'll always say, I know the owners make a lot of money. I understand. But no one ever cares when they get screwed like that. Like, you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars.
Empty.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Like, he's done, retired, can't pitch anymore, and they still have to pay out that money. Rough.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yep.
Mets after off tonight, yesterday, back on tonight, starting the series with the Diamondbacks. Showman Ivers, Eduardo Rodriguez. They are three games back of the Braves for the final NL wildcard standings. We talked about it last hour. NFL roster cut down day. Jets and the Giants both have to get to the 53-man roster by 4 p.m. The German fullback tight end hybrid, Jakob Johnson, cut by the Giants. Then you guys surprised me with the Isaiah Hodgins waving. 7 touchdowns the last 2 years, but more importantly, that 2022 season, how he finished.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Look at a star on the rise.
Five touchdowns in a 6-game span, and the wild card win against the Vikings. 8 catches for 105 yards and a score. I don't care how bad that Vikings defense was. That's impressive.
He came out of nowhere when they brought him in from Buffalo that year. And obviously, Dable and Shane knew him from their time up there, but
that's a guy you think would get picked up relatively quickly. Like, we were talking about free agency in baseball and how slow it is and how fast it is in football. These next few days will be pretty wild, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's always, I feel like it gets built up a little bit. So many guys hit waivers that a lot of times you can get them to the practice squad because it's just a lot of names. It's not a portal, but essentially going into that pool of available players. So, but, you know, once they're on the practice squad, obviously they at any point can be signed to your active roster. So things are going to change a million times.
And Dalvin Cook meeting with the Cowboys today. You finally saw the video I told you about?
Yes, I did. He looks
jacked. I don't know if he can run anymore, but he looks great.
Yeah, I mean, he had the shoulder surgery before he came to the Jets, right? And Denver really did a whole lot here. Plus, Breece Hall arrived and is a stud. But if he's got anything left in the tank, I asked you yesterday, I'm like, who's running the ball for the Cowboys? And you're like, oh, Zeke Elliott. I'm like,
and
what?
Rico Dowdle.
Yeah.
That's today's NFL. It's not the household names in the late rounds or the undrafted guys, and all of a sudden they're having a big-time year. But it would be nice to have someone established that's not totally shot. I think Zeke can't do much now.
You have a dominant offensive line. These guys can run the ball.
Yeah.
But they can.
But I don't understand. It's me questioning, trying to make sense of Jerry Jones's picks. Wouldn't, instead of going with two older guys that you're worried about breaking down, why not just draft a sixth-round running back and a seventh-round running back?
They have younger guys. They have Deuce Vaughn. They have Malik Davis. They've got guys. But, and I don't think Ezekiel Elliott's going to come in here and run the ball 25 times a game. I think he's going to be on the goal line. He'll get some carries. I don't think he's going to be that integral of a part of the offense. But, you know, you got Dalvin Cook out there. You bring him in, you see what he's got. He certainly didn't play much with the Jets. We know that.
No, he did not. In about 2 years, his Jets tenure will be wiped from my memory.
Correct. If it hasn't been already.
Yeah, it almost was. When CeeLo said, Dalvin Cook with the Jets. And I was like, yeah, that's right.
Yep.
I mean, there wasn't much to happen while he was here.
He didn't play.
Yeah.
No, nor should he have. Giants also cut second-year linebacker Darian Beavers and linebacker Tomon Fox. Before we get to moment of the day.
These are names I am not familiar with.
Yeah, I mean.
That's on me.
Well, I mean, that's not, I don't think 99% of people know, but.
Well, these are local teams. You're not giving me, you know, the 90th man on the Jaguars here, you know. It's the Jets and the Giants we're talking about.
That's right.
Beavers, I remember, played linebacker, I'm pretty sure, a decent amount last year after the whole, I feel like my memory's going. Martinez, they cut him before last year, right?
He retired before
last year? That was last year, not 2 years ago?
I don't remember which year.
He was with the team in 2022.
I don't remember which year it was, but
it
wasn't
was
it
last
like
year.
During camp,
it
was early in camp
yes,
or something?
Yes, correct. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, just so you know, before you minko us, you got 6 minutes left.
Jerry, we have plenty of things we can get to.
No,
in
I'm kidding.
Last segment.
No, so here's the thing that I do want to, I guess, maybe go down a rabbit hole. Do you guys know who the Rizzler is?
The Rizzler?
Yeah.
The Rizzler.
Is that like an Anthony Rizzo nickname?
No.
All right.
Leagues, have you seen the Rizzler?
No
the
idea Rizzler. What you're talking about.
Stones?
No
Nobody?
Shot.
Is this a playoff of the Riddler?
Mm. It's this little fat kid that I keep seeing. I don't use TikTok, but I guess
Rizzler.
He became famous on TikTok, and now all like TikTok stuff gets brought over to Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
So he's this little fat kid, and he's like, hey, I'm the Rizzler. And like, I don't know, he's funny, but like he has become... That's all I see now.
Okay.
And now I know that it's not just me going down rabbit holes and looking for this kid. Major League Baseball Twitter account posted, I don't even know who the home run was, but it was watch for home runs, like for Big Justice, and retweet for the Rizzler. And this other kid, Big Justice, this other little fat kid, he looks like Tony Soprano's kid in the show. And I don't know. Now that Major League Baseball is posting it, I realize how... They do stupid stuff like any other of these YouTubers do.
Yeah.
Just videos of them guessing which drink is in which spot without looking at it. Stuff that like mindless like 9-year-olds who just watch YouTube all day long.
So what about it?
I don't know.
No.
That's what I was saying. I'm going, so what's your point here?
Where are we?
Where is this going?
What's the punchline?
I was hoping somebody at least knew who it was.
No. I don't know the Rizzler.
There is no punchline at all.
All right.
It was more so me thinking that I had maybe... My algorithm had been getting screwed up from watching this kid's videos.
Maybe.
And like getting a chuckle, but also like he's kind of, you know, this is dumb. But now that Major League Baseball is posting it, I don't know. Do a quick.
Which of the two adults with children in the studio with you did you think would know about the Rizzler?
That's a good point.
Sid Vicious passed away. I saw that. The old wrestler.
Yes, that was
I thought you were going there, but apparently not.
Never getting those 2 minutes back.
No, you never will.
All right, what else you got? Moment of the day.
I got a mean tweet for you guys because we were talking about the slick back hair, and then I got moment of the day.
Oh, okay, mean tweet. Good.
By the way, a guy that works here at the Fan, Colton Gesser, just texted me, "Boom!" in all caps, which is like the Rizzler and this other kid's punchline. Everything they do is accentuated. That so yes, you know people know who it is.
People know.
Mirage also not happy with you and I. Tomon Fox and was an important piece on the 2022 team.
Kiss my ass, Sean.
Now
Mr. Giants
insider. You want him to kiss your... Yesterday you had him shaving his ass. Now you're kissing his ass. And what are we doing here?
Because we don't know Tomon Fox. I said Tomon Fox. It's Tomon.
Well, I like I said.
Yeah,
it's on
he's
me.
Not
it's
on the
me.
Team anymore.
It's on me.
So now he's Tomoff Fox. He's off the team.
Oh, boy.
All right, what's your mean tweet?
Yeah, so somebody tweeted, wow, what is with those glasses and the slick down hairstyle? You look like someone from the 60s, 70s. You need a new stylist and wardrobe.
I think the shirt's fine today. Yesterday was horrible, but today's fine. So no worries. And it's a nice yellow shirt. I appreciate the yellow shirt.
Have I told you guys or have you said that I keep getting these are the Dahmer glasses?
There is something unsettling about the glasses. I know you're trying to be
unique about it.
I can't put my finger on it. I don't know if I'd go Dahmer, but...
I could see someone... So like when you're sitting next to me, I don't think anything of it. Looking on the screen, I could see someone saying you look like a serial killer.
That's like,
but not
throw,
next to me.
Yeah, throw it around. Hey, you look like a serial killer, man. Or, hey, thanks. Yeah. You throw it around so lightly.
Or like a famous assassin from the past. Like,
that's a cool one. I'd rather that than serial killer.
No, but there's someone specific I'd like to
be paid for my killings, not go to jail for them.
Moment of the day. I'm getting dumber by the moment here.
Okay.
That's hard to do.
And I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
There's that shirt. That is some shirt. Today's much better, though. Much better.
All right. Thank you. I'm glad I got the approval.
Yes.
Moment of the day is brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas, Añejo Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila brought to you by those who drink it.
I jumped it. And I read that every day. Go ahead.
Reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly.
Moment of the day.
Okay. So we got into my vocabulary and other people's vocabularies, which led to some SAT scores talk. And then we found out some new info on scones. I'm Brian Riscona.
I'd have to check. I don't even know if I could check it. I think I got like 820 on my SAT.
Stop it.
Swear to God.
Don't you get, what's that? Is that a myth? Don't you get 800 for signing your name?
That's
or something?
What people say. I don't believe that.
I didn't even show up for mine. I was going to game one Yankees Padres 98 World Series. I didn't even show up. Never took the SATs in my life.
Wait a second. You're a Met fan.
Yeah.
And you passed on the SATs to go to the Yankees.
My first World Series game of my life. Yeah.
That was the Tino Grand Slam?
Yes. I'd never been to the World Series. I had an opportunity to go. I went.
Yeah, that's a totally valid reason for skipping the SATs. But then the fact that you just never rescheduled another one.
So did you? I'm a high school dropout, dude. I didn't show up for any of those.
So you didn't go to college at all?
No.
Wait a second. You didn't graduate high school?
No.
Oh, wow. You know what? Now we've got a lot to get into on the post-game podcast. We may not be gone
and
by
I've
11.
Done podcasts
just
with him. I didn't know that story.
I didn't know that either.
I was very interested in his business. I didn't realize.
I mean, he and I found out on the air a couple weeks ago that
Sal
we had
high school
same...
dropout too.
I don't know, actually.
Shirt, or is it college dropout?
Sal, I think, was college dropout.
I got my GED, but that's about
it. He's a very successful guy on the other side of the glass, by the way. So. He didn't even graduate high school.
If I knew then what I know now, I would have dropped out when I was 10.
Moment of the day.
Probably would have been better off for it.
Good job, Brian.
Right?
Good job. Thanks. You're saying good job to drop out of high school? Is that what you're telling me?
I mean, look at you now. It worked out pretty well for you.
You don't need 16 years of school to learn how to save your money. Don't buy anything that depreciates in value. Come on.
What's interesting
doing here?
About that is they don't teach that in a lot of schools.
I know.
Which is what they should be teaching.
I told my wife it was up to me. I'd pull my son out of school right now. He'd play golf every day. That's it. Just play straight golf.
You've got him playing quite a bit. So you're on the road to that.
You don't need 16, and especially half the teachers that taught me already, they were doing time in jail after I left high school. Ask Giannotti. We went to the same high school. There's multiple teachers that were in jail after I left high school.
Not that Italian teacher that you guys were, you know.
No, not him. But there was a Spanish teacher that went to jail for quite some time.
Oh, boy.
Teachers in my high school that went to jail.
What?
Where do you guys go to school?
Jeez.
Central New Jersey.
Long Island and Central Jersey.
Bellport High School, baby.
Teachers doing a hard time here. You said quite some time.
This one did, yes.
Double-digit years?
I'm not quite sure.
Let's also walk that back, too, because you originally said half your teachers. It was not half your teachers.
No way. There was probably, I will say this, off the top of my head, I know two teachers and one coach that got arrested and spent time in prison.
Jeez.
That's not a great track.
I mean, yesterday I'm crediting my English teacher when I made a grammatical foobar. These guys have got teachers going to prison.
Yeah, I don't think I've experienced that either.
Which high school did you go to in Jersey again?
South Plainfield.
All right. I don't know much about South Plainfield.
I did have a coach who I won't say at what level. He did go to prison briefly.
Jeez.
But that was it. Not a teacher.
And then I got to listen to these people tell me what I got to do and live my life. Come on. Stop.
You're living your life. You're doing fine.
Why is that so shocking to you, CeeLo, that people go to jail every day?
Okay, but
some of them happen to be teachers.
Yeah, but ones?
Yeah.
You're right. There are bad people in all walks of life. It's just when you say, he started out by saying half. We've taken that back. And just the fact that it's more than one is a lot.
Right, both of you is like right top of mind. I'd have to really think about that and do some digging.
But CeeLo, Jerry, and I all went to school in Central Jersey, and we can't think of a teacher between the three of us who went to prison.
Examples,
but I'm not aware of it.
Yeah, I'm not either. Right, exactly.
You didn't have any teacher that was having relationships with a student, with a kid? That happens like all the time.
Yeah, I don't think they went to prison.
No, I have not. Anyway, good job the last couple days.
Thanks.
And that's us.
Ending on a high note.
Please. We'll see you again soon. All right?
All right.
Very good.
Good job,
we'll take a quick break. We got some other stuff to get to. And then I think Keith McPherson coming up at 10 right here on The Fan. It is CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Fan, CBS Sports Network.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
9:50. It is CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo at Built Ford Tough Studio. So I'm going to read something to you. There has been something. Boomer and Geo are off. They'll be back on Tuesday. There has been something that Boomer has wanted us as a show to do, and I think you were even included in this for the last several years, I would say.
I've heard him talk about it. I don't know if I was included.
You know what where I'm going here?
I know the title of what you're referencing because I've heard him talk about it all before.
Right. Have you two in there, have you guys heard of the Burning Man Festival?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I have not.
Okay. So Boomer has wanted us to go to this as a group for, I would say, he probably brought it up 5 years ago. And then we would kind of look into it. Then last year it was full of rain and mud.
Where is it?
Hell if I know. Nevada or something. I don't know. Okay. Somewhere out there. I'd like to read to you what's going on at Burning Man this year. Which is where Boomer wanted to take me and Al and Eddie and Gio. And I think you. I do think you were mentioned
in this. Black Rock Desert in northwestern Nevada.
There you go. That's where this is. Okay. Oh, fantastic. So.
Okay. Good timing again. Your timing is great today, Jerry.
Let's just say, well, I mean, listen, I'm doing, just reading a story from the newspaper. Headline is Burning Man Festival draws star-studded crowd with nudity in an orgy dome. Where is he trying to take us?
Sounds and right up Boomer's alley, right?
Last year, the rain was so bad. From what I understand, I'm not going to say shades of Woodstock. Remember when Woodstock got all those heavy rains?
Yeah.
And you had all the video of people like losing their minds and everyone was filthy and all
sure.
that. There were like videos and images of like the celebrities last year. I think Chris Rock was one who left and was like hitchhiking to try and get out of where he was to get home. What's so funny?
Sorry. You said orgy dome.
Correct. So that was in the headline.
I Googled what is an orgy dome.
Yeah.
Not familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Some interesting information here.
Could he use context clues on that one?
So this is what...
I know what the word that starts with O means, but I was like, what exactly is an orgy dome?
Let me read to you from the story. Because again, this is what Boomer wanted to take us to.
You have the definition of orgy dome in there?
Let me just read to you what this says. Okay. Yes, I do. Festival goers can camp on their own or join themed ones, including the infamous orgy dome, where burners can have a safer, consensual place to quote-unquote play at the Burning Man. The orgy dome has been at Burning Man since 2004. It is an air-conditioned sex haven where guests can visit in groups of two or more. Its creators claim that 5,000 attendees cavorted within the dome this year. That is what Boomer would like us to go to.
You didn't read that quote in full.
Why?
At the end there. I like that
word choice. Oh, did I cut off the end?
Its creators claim that 5,000 attendees cavorted within its folds last year.
Wine me, dine me, 69.
All right, so that's fine. So... I mean, what is he talking about?
Perfect team bonding exercise for
and
you guys.
And also, and I don't know this, my guess is that people are smoking some funky stuff.
Oh, I'm sure they're doing a lot
and
of funky stuff.
And I would think the drinks
there.
Are flowing. And yeah. It sounds like a mess.
Yeah, it does. It does. Now, would you guys be with like the general population at this thing? Or
I don't know.
We would have you guys hooked up in your own area.
So fast.
Shut it down.
So what he wanted to do was usually what Boomer says he really wants to do, but in this case, I think he was fooling around with us, but I don't know. He wanted to get a camper. And I said to him, like, we can't stay in each other after 4 days, 4 hours a day for 5 days. You want all day, every day?
Camper.
Are you crazy?
You can't get Al to go to a weeknight baseball game. Think you're getting him to go to the desert in Nevada?
Not only can I get Al to go to a weeknight baseball game, I can't get him to go to Philadelphia with me on a week he's off.
Right. You guys talked about that on the warm-up show last week. He couldn't follow through with that.
No, and now I can't go Thursday.
You guys had conflicts.
Like
yeah.
No, mm-hmm. I don't. He did.
Well, you had a conflict.
Tomorrow I had a conflict, so I pulled Wednesday off the table. I offered last night.
Right.
He said no. He said too early in the week, and then he told me he had plans with his parents. Then I said Tuesday. He goes too early in the week.
What does that mean, too early in the week? He's off.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. He just makes up excuses.
Wednesday I couldn't go. Thursday I got a maybe.
For Philly.
But I can't go Thursday now. Yeah, and I would have liked to have gone.
Braves-Phillies series opener.
Yes, I think it was Braves. I'm sorry, Phillies-Astros, I think, was last night.
Extra inning win, Bryce Harper walk-off.
Right, that was the one I wanted to go to. Mm. Although I don't know that I would have been there extra innings having to get up and come in this morning.
Right.
But I would have gone to the game and probably left in the 7th or 8th inning and got home in time. But can't get him to do
all the way down there, leaving the 7th inning.
Yeah, but I see. Here's the difference between what we were talking off the air about how hard it is to get to Citi Field or Yankee Stadium.
It is, yeah.
And how for you it took a couple of hours to get to Yankee Stadium. You got there late, had to leave a little early.
We had to leave early practice. For football practice, knowing it was a day game, so there was going to be rush hour traffic getting home.
So you spent 5 hours in the car and we're at the game for 2 hours.
Well, I think we spent north of five
Maybe.
Hours.
Yeah. So if I go to Philly, I pretty much know it's going to be an hour 20 there. I usually get to games an hour before first pitch. So I'm going to have an hour. If I spend 2 hours there and then I drive home, that's a lot better scenario than what you got.
Yeah. Now, the pull for us was that the tickets were on the house.
Makes
so
it better.
We didn't pay, you know, it's we just paid for parking travel, and the food. Oh, the travel's outrageous.
It's too much travel.
And I'll tell you, coming in, I do usually SNY Sunday nights. Yeah. The summer Sunday nights, getting in at the Holland Tunnel, forget it. Last week, I got to the approach. You come off the ramp there on the Turnpike extension at like, I don't know, 9:30. I had 4 miles to go in my trip to Four World Trade Center. It took me over an hour.
I believe it.
I mean, it's just, it's insane.
What was your favorite park when you went out to California?
California Adventure, which is part of Disneyland. That's
no,
like
I
their
meant ballpark.
Oh, tells you what kind of trip I had. It's all about the kids. Oh man, you asked me to choose between the two.
Well, you went to San Diego and yeah, Chavez Ravine, right?
So obviously, you've got classic versus modern. I'll say this. I appreciated Dodger Stadium. We were not there that long. We went the night we landed. So
again, you left early.
Yeah, my boys were asleep in their seats by like the fifth or sixth inning. It was a long day. It was basically at that point, you know, after 10 o'clock for them. And we had gotten up at like 5 a.m. back here to go to the airport. We had a much better overall day and experience in San Diego. Nothing against the Dodgers or their park. The weather was great. Sights were beautiful. Getting in and out of the stadium was easy. It had its charm. But we did a day game in San Diego, fully rested. Weather was perfect. They put up 8 runs in the first couple of innings. They're beating up on the Pirates. You know, the park's beautiful. Some good food. Boys got, you know, a souvenir. We walked around a little bit. It was, you know, it was perfect.
And you know San Francisco. You were just Southern California.
So Southern, and we skipped. We were in Anaheim for Disneyland, but we passed on the Angels.
Understood.
This is how bad they are, especially with Trout out.
Yeah.
There was an advertisement on a billboard on the highway. It was 4 tickets, and you got, I think, a drink, a hot dog, and something else. It was $44.
Total?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like $11 per ticket.
That's struggling to get people.
Oh, yeah.
We did San Francisco, Arizona, L.A., San Diego when we were out there, and L.A. to me is... Just because I don't know why. As much as I love the other ones.
No, it's
I
beautiful.
I can't wait to go back
and
to
And the ravine there, you know, off of... The downtown
Amazing.
Area, you wouldn't think you're right outside a major city.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.